3 months ago, Rupert phoned me and asked me what I'd like to preach on this evening. And then Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 seemed a brilliant idea. So do please have it open in front of you. It's page 635 if it's a church Bible you've got. I thought it was a great idea because I've never forgotten a friend in the ministry saying once, whenever I'm asked, how could we pray for you? I always answer, pray for wisdom. It was Solomon's prayer that he had in mind. You know, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, and Solomon said, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who's able to govern this great people of yours? And I thought, Proverbs 1:7, here is Solomon's not-so-secret recipe for that wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the heart of wisdom. Of course, 3 months before an event, any idea can seem brilliant. 6 days before the event, when you sit down at your desk in the new study, I start wondering, why did I choose this? And then I remembered. Rupert said to me, if you don't choose a passage, you'll find yourself preaching from somewhere in the middle of Ezekiel. And I looked up at my bookcase, and Chris Wright's commentary on Ezekiel has either gone walkabout or it's at the bottom of some random packing case. And all of a sudden, Proverbs seemed a brilliant idea again. So here we are, Proverbs 1, verse 7. And you know, as you read the words, familiar though they'll be to many of us, and you start to think about them, it's hard not to think we're living with two completely contrasting worlds around us, aren't we? World number one, every church that has a motto text each year, sooner rather than later, chooses Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and you'll see it printed on a card, stuck up on a mantelpiece, or fixed to a fridge with a magnet. And then there's world number two, the world out there. You're still interested in knowledge and wisdom. I know more than information. It's not short on information, is it? If you want information, just ask Jeeves or Google. You've got more information than you know what to do with. But still interested even in the moral wisdom that Solomon speaks of here. The wisdom of, verse 3. For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life and doing what is right and just and fair. I mean, what was Live 8 all about? You can say it's naive and whatever, but was it not people trying to encourage us to do what is right and just and fair? In the Times newspaper, every day, Monday through Friday, they have a little column that's headed Moral Matters. Each day, there's a little question posed about ethical issues and situations. My suspicion is the columnist makes up half the questions because he gets some very good replies in on them. The striking thing is, though, he writes most of the replies Monday through Thursday. On Friday, you've got what all the other readers have written in. And I cannot remember when anyone has written in and said, what's the point of this? Everything's relative. People have got values. They're just trying to work out which values do you apply here. Channel 4, earlier this year, ran a program. Viewers could write in, text in, whatever they would do in. Modern day Ten Commandments. Let's rewrite them for today. Actually, they landed up with 20 commandments in the end. Some of them were very familiar soundings. I got my daughter to write them out for me off the internet. It had respect your mother and father in. It's good for her to write that down. Unfortunately, it also had look after your children later on, so she pointed that one out to me. The only four of the original Ten Commandments that are not mentioned are the ones that referred to God. So here you are, one world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Another world, longing for that knowledge and wisdom, but without the fear of the Lord. What are we to make of it? Do the two worlds ever meet? Or is this a text simply for a church building or the fridge magnet? No. No, says Solomon. That's not what I've written my book for. I look on to verse 20, will you? Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. It's okay, turn back, stay on the same page. Don't get ahead of me. But do you see what he's saying? He's expecting this wisdom for out there. This is a book in which, as one commentator puts it, the Bible pulls on overalls and goes to work, or dresses up in a business suit. I've seen the book of Proverbs smartly packaged and given to executives in the city because people wanted wisdom to speak out as Solomon did. Proverbs takes me, if you read it, into a world of quarreling neighbors and gossiping friends, nagging wives, stroppy children, business sharks, and weak officials. And he expects me to live out what I call my Christian life there. Wants to make me wise for that. That's the knowledge the fear of the Lord gives. And I think for Solomon, the fool is not just the man of the world with no time for God, but quite possibly the man of God with no time for the world. Yet the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But not everyone gets it. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Look, I'll come clean. I have read the first half of this verse countless times. I've learnt it off by heart. I've studied it. But it's only recently I've given the rest of it a second glance. That's a very stupid thing to do. See, the second line of the verse helps explain the first. The fool shows the opposite of the fear of the Lord. So let's begin with the second half, because I suspect it'll be fresher to most of us. Let's begin with the folly of the fool and see what it says about him. Fools despise wisdom. That's the first mark of the fool. Fools will not be given wisdom. Solomon says later on, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Humility comes before honor, except in the dictionary, as one wag wrote. But you see, if I refuse to bow my knee to God, if I refuse to imagine there could be a loving creator, sovereign God who knows better, I'll never discover his wisdom. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs warns me not to retreat into the self-affirming wisdom of the chattering classes or the media sages or even the church cliques. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But the fool, of course, is sure he is wise. And often he's got the letters after his name to prove it. Now, don't misunderstand it. When you read about the fool in Proverbs, it has nothing to do with a low IQ. Fools in Solomon's day, just as in ours, can lecture in top universities, manage top companies, run top government posts. If you know them well enough, you may see their folly in the strain of family life, the ruins of friendships, the lack of thought, never mind relationship with the God they must one day meet. Chapter 1 ends with a sobering picture of a great calamity and disaster and a shocking comment from God. Do turn over the page now. And in response to this calamity, pick it up at verse 28 and see what God says. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They'll look for me, but will not find me. And don't misunderstand it. This is not lack of compassion for victims. God's heart is full to the brim with that. That's not who this is aimed at. Now look at verse 29. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Yeah, this is the folly of those who've deliberately chosen not to take God seriously. They've spurned his rebuke. They've refused his heart, ready to be poured out to them. That they've driven through every red light imaginable. Since they wouldn't accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they'll eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Don't call to God then and ask, where is he in all this? Why didn't he warn us if he cared? When a life's pattern of mocking his wisdom and hating his knowledge leads to the breakdown of society. Why, suddenly verse 32 has something to say, doesn't it? Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Suddenly the fear of the Lord is not retreat into fantasy land.
But wisdom, despised at our peril, the folly of the fool. The fool will not be given wisdom. And its other mark, we'll come back to verse 7, the fool will not take discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And you see the next word that's written there at the beginning of verse 8? Listen. Listen. And be ready and willing to act on what we hear. To do that is a humbling thing. According to verse 5, even the wise need to listen. But actually, of course, that's why they are wise. Because they do listen. It's too much for the fool, though. It takes discipline to listen. I've got a little calendar on my desk. It's just called Solomon's Thoughts for the Day. And each day it's got one of his proverbs and then a little pithy comment underneath to explain it. Wednesday's was this: a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. And the comment made it crystal clear: closed mind, open mouth. How good a listener are you? And I went, ouch. Been there? Oh, let me be personal for a moment. Take it tonight. You see, how are you listening tonight? Have you come to evaluate me or to listen to God? Don't get the either or wrong. I'm not pretending that I'm God. And please keep your critical faculties there and make sure what I'm explaining is the Bible. But did you come praying, Lord, what have you got to teach me? Or did you come saying, I wonder what the new rector's like? Let's do a deal, shall we? I'll happily settle right now for the new rector is a bit disappointing, as long as you'll settle for the fact that God won't be a letdown and he is speaking to those who'll listen. And then we'll listen properly for the rest of the evening. Because if I won't listen to God, you see, I won't land up saying no to other voices, the voices of verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, don't give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie and wait for someone's blood, my son, don't go along with them. But it takes discipline not to run with the crowd, doesn't it? When's the last time you said no to everyone around you? The folly of the fool. The fool despises wisdom and discipline. If you ever catch yourself saying to yourself, you know, I can't stand being told what to do, or I hate it when people put you straight, just check it's not the fool in misspeaking. See, when I read the second line of verse 7, it sits a little more uncomfortably and a little more urgently on my fridge door than it did before. The folly of the fool. But of course, it's just a contrast with what we all need. The first line, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That is to say, the first principle and the controlling principle, the must have this or I'm sunk ingredient of knowledge. And fear of the Lord, please don't misunderstand it. When Solomon writes of it like this, he's not speaking of terror, of cringing in a corner, of lack of relationship, quite the opposite. It's actually a phrase that speaks of being in relationship, of taking God seriously, of treating God as God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and that word knowledge is a relationship word. Oh, it includes the idea of the wisdom we've talked of, but it's all bound up in knowing, in being in relationship with the God who put this world together, who will rescue and renew it. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not just some vague concept of God. Lord is a technical word. It means more than just the three letters G-O-D. It means the promise-making, promise-keeping, covenant God of Israel. The God whose promises came true in Jesus. Which is why to fear the Lord and to treat God as God means to listen to Jesus. Hundreds of years after Solomon wrote these words, someone stepped onto the pages of history and described himself like this: a greater than Solomon is here. Remember the incident when Jesus was 12? And Mary and Joseph lost him in the crowds? And it was 3 days before they found him again. Every parent's nightmare, isn't it? And they catch up with him in the temple, and he's there sitting amongst all the great religious teachers of the day, listening and asking questions. And Luke adds this line, "Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers." I hadn't realized what a striking line it was until someone pointed it out to me the other day. I mean, to be amazed at a 12-year-old's questions, yeah, that's something. But for the wise ones of the day to be amazed at a 12-year-old's answers. So leave Proverbs behind, will you, as we draw to a close and move on forward to Matthew's gospel. To Matthew chapter 11, to page 977 if it's a church Bible. Matthew 11 and verse 28, and listen as the great wisdom teacher speaks. And he echoes the words that wisdom herself loves to say, "Come, come to me," verse 28, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." See the wisdom? "Learn from me," says Jesus. That's where you'll get wisdom. You see the discipline? "Take my yoke upon you." The yoke's what you'd strap round oxen or cattle to make them walk together. It's a lovely picture of learning to walk with Jesus. "Take my yoke upon you." And of course, there's enough of the fool in me not to want yokes around my neck. But I covet his wisdom. I covet his wisdom for an ethically complex world, for a murky, fallen world. The kind of wisdom that confounded his enemies. Remember when they tried to trap him with the coin and who you pay taxes to? Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. And give to the Lord what's the Lord's. Wisdom that will comfort his friends. Remember Martha with brother Lazarus 3 days dead? Distraught? "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet will he live." The wisdom in a fallen world to show mercy without sacrificing principles. Don't you wish you could get those right all the time? The woman caught in adultery and shouldn't we stone her? "Let him who's without sin cast the first stone." No one said anything? Well, nor do I. No one condemned you? Go and sin no more. Or the wisdom, you have to do this in the world we live in sooner or later, the wisdom to endure the injustice of a fallen world. The most innocent man there's ever been died a criminal's execution. And in all the horror and the injustice and the mockery and the torture, they said this of him, "He committed no sin. And no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." I resent the idea of a yoke, but I long for that wisdom. And the wise one says to me, well, I look back to verse 29. The wise one says to me, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's what the wise one says. And in my heart of hearts, I know he's right. And if I'm going to enjoy the wisdom to lead God's people, then I must humble myself and take Jesus' yoke and learn of him. And if we, as the All Souls family, are going to speak to the world out there, then we're going to have to be those who've learnt how to go on fearing the Lord. Otherwise, tonight's text will never get beyond the fridge door. Be good to pray that it does, wouldn't it? Let's pray. Friends, life rushes all too quickly from one thing to another, doesn't it? So let's pause for a moment.
Let's have a moment of silence, a moment just to pray for ourselves. There may be some here tonight for whom the idea of treating God seriously is just a new idea in itself. You might want to pray, Lord, show me yourself. There may be some of us, and we've seen traces of our folly tonight, and we may want to pray, sorry. Sorry, I'm too quick to speak and too slow to listen. Too slow to open your book, Lord, and listen to your Jesus. And maybe there are others of us who just want to pray, please keep the fear of the Lord in my heart and the yoke of Jesus around my neck. Let's just face our God and his word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.